This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You're listening to Radio Al Ansar 90.4 FM. My name is Ismail Kamda, and inshallah, I will be your host every Wednesday mornings from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. with a very exciting new program entitled The Divine Connection. The Divine Connection, Understanding the Quran. With this being our first episode of this program, I'd like to take a short moment to explain why I chose the subject. I am a teacher at the Islamic Online University, and one of the subjects which I teach is Ulumul Quran. And I was mentioning that the reason why I chose this specific topic is that one of the subjects which I teach at the Islamic Online University is called Ulumul Quran, the sciences of the Quran. And even though this is a very technical subject, it's a very academic subject, there was a lot of information in that field of study which I feel every Muslim needs to know before reading the Quran. So I decided to put together a series focusing on those points which each and every one of us need to know if we wish to understand the Quran better and if we wish to connect with the Quran in a stronger way. And furthermore, it is the month of Ramadan. And as we all know, the month of Ramadan is the one in which, about which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, شَحْرُ رَمَدَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ هُدًى لِلنَّاسِ وَالْبَيِّنَاتِ مِنَ الْهُدَى وَالْفُرْقَانِ شَحْرُ رَمَدَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ The month of Ramadan is the month in which Allah revealed the Quran. As what? هُدًى لِلنَّاسِ As a guidance for mankind. وَالْبَيِّنَاتِ مِنَ الْهُدَى And as proof and evidence for what counts as guidance. وَالْفُرْقَانِ And as our criteria between what is right and what is wrong. And so most of us spend the month of Ramadan trying to get closer to the Quran. We spend the month of Ramadan trying to connect with the Quran. We increase in our recitation. We increase in our taraweeh, in our tahajjud, in the various different forms of reciting the Quran and praying during the month of Ramadan. And so, because of this, I decided that inshallah, we will have this program which will give you the foundation to understand the Quran on a higher level. Now, just to give you a glimpse of what is to come in our 6 episodes of this program, this week being the opening episode and with it being the last Wednesday before Ramadan, inshallah, today I will be discussing some practical tips on how we can maximize our benefit from the Quran this Ramadan. So today's program will focus primarily on Ramadan and how we can maximize our benefit from the Quran in Ramadan. Next week, inshallah, we will look at how understanding the Quran can transform your life. Right? How it can transform your life. That when once you understand the Quran, a lot of things will change in your mindset, in your attitude, in the way you deal with people, in the way you approach the religion. So, how does it transform you? What changes to expect? And how good are these changes? And we'll also go through the basic steps of reading the translation of the Quran and of reading a tafsir. And inshallah, both this week and next week, we will focus on what are the best translations and tafsirs to read. Inshallah. In the third episode, we will be looking at some of the most commonly recited surahs in Salah, like Suratul Fatiha and Surah Al-Asr and the three Quls, because we recite these surahs almost every day in our Salah. So it's important for us to understand them, so that we now pray the Salah with understanding. So inshallah, in the third episode, we will be looking specifically at these surahs and how we can understand them. In the fourth show, we will dedicate this show entirely to the concept of stories in the Quran. Now, the stories of the Quran are very unique. They are not written in one place. They are not written with a lot of details. So we are going to discuss these commonly raised issues. Why are the stories written in different parts of the Quran instead of put together in one place? Why are the stories not written in details like how the humans and how we write stories? Furthermore, why is Surah Yusuf in one surah? Why is the story of Yusuf in Surah Yusuf while the other stories are split up? We will look at all of this in details, inshallah, in the fourth show, which will be dedicated entirely to the stories of the Quran. Towards the end of Ramadan, in our fifth program, we will be looking at the areas, which many of us find difficult in understanding the Quran. For example, things like abrogation. What is abrogation? Which verses of the Quran are abrogated? How do we understand this concept? How do we explain it to people of other faiths? We're going to look at the reasons for revelations. Certain verses have a context. How to understand the context so that you do not misunderstand the verses. So inshallah, we will dedicate our fifth show to that specific topic. And our final episode, the sixth show, which will be in our last week of the program, will look at practical steps in how we can make the Quran a constant part of our lives. Because for many of us, after Ramadan is over, we struggle to keep the Quran alive every day in our lives. And inshallah, we will spend an entire show dedicated on how we can make the Quran part of our lives. Not just in reading, but in understanding and practice as well. So inshallah, that is the lineup for the next 6 weeks, every Wednesday morning from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. I hope that y'all are as excited as I am for this program, and I hope that y'all will be joining me and joining in the discussion about the beauty of the Quran and how we can understand it better. Now inshallah, getting into today's topic, we are looking at Ramadan and understanding the Quran in Ramadan. And I pray that each and every one of us have an intention in our hearts that we want to make this upcoming Ramadan special. We want to make it unique. We want to make it life-changing. We want to make this Ramadan such that we come out from it better Muslims. And one of the best ways to do that is to make a dedicated effort towards reciting and understanding the Quran. Now, what is the Quran? That is something which needs to be first explained before we explain how we understand it. Most of us know what the Quran is, but for those listeners, especially those who are not Muslim, who would like to know about the details, I will very briefly go to what the Quran is. The Quran is part of the final revelation sent by God, sent by Allah, to the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam 1400 years ago. We believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent revelations to different people at different times. He sent the Torah to the Prophet Musa, the Prophet Moses. He sent the Psalms to the Prophet David and the Gospel to the Prophet Jesus. And then for the final Prophet Muhammad, who was sent as a final messenger to all of mankind, he gave him a revelation which is of two types, the Quran and the Sunnah. The Quran and the Sunnah are both revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the key difference between the Quran and the Sunnah is that the Quran is in Allah's words, it is God's words, while the Sunnah is the Prophet's words. So it's the revelation of Rasulullah sent to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his own words, aside for Hadith al-Qudsi, that is also in Allah's words. So the Quran is God's word and the Sunnah is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's words. They are kept as two separate things, but they are both the sources of Islam. Furthermore, the Quran is a miracle in of itself. That studying the Quran, understanding the Quran, you will understand and gain conviction that the Quran is indeed from the Creator of the heavens and the earth. Because in of itself, it is a miracle and a proof of the truth of Islam. So this miracle that we Muslims all accept and believe in, we believe this as Muslims, that the Quran is the final revelation. The Quran is Allah's word. The Quran is a miracle. And so we should make extra effort to understand it, extra effort to practice it, extra effort to teach it. So inshallah, I'm going to explain how we can do that. And before we went for a break, we were looking at what the Quran is. We said that the final messenger, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was given two types of revelation. He was given the Quran and the Sunnah, with the Sunnah being the revelation in his own words, but the Quran was revelation in the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. And so the Quran holds a very special place in the lives of Muslims, and that Muslims should strive to understand it and to practice it and to follow it. Now, despite this being the case, we find today that in many Muslim homes, the Quran is not recited a lot. For many of us, the Quran is kept on the shelf. We recite it perhaps in Ramadan, perhaps at the janazah or at a nikah. If it's be lucky, we might recite it for Jum'ah. But it's very rare to find homes where the Quran is recited on a daily basis, which is rather sad because Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has warned us and said, don't make your homes like graveyards. Recite the Quran in your homes. You know, don't make your homes dead in terms of iman. Recitation of the Quran on a daily basis keeps the iman in your house alive and it chases the shaitan away. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that if you recite Surah Baqarah in your house, it chases the devils away. So the recitation of the Quran in our homes is very important. But how many of us do this? And from those of us who do recite the Quran at home, how many of us make an attempt to understand it? And furthermore, how many of us are trying to follow it? My brothers and sisters, remember that the Quran itself mentions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us and put us in this world to test us. It is a test to see who will submit and follow the Creator and who will not. We as Muslims, we know this. We know that Allah is testing us. And we know that He has sent to us a revelation which has in it our best interest. The Quran, whatever laws are in the Quran and Sunnah, are there to facilitate what is good for us and to keep away what is bad for us. This is agreed upon by all scholars of fiqh. If you open any book of Islamic law, it mentions that the fundamental principle of Islamic law is to bring about what is good for mankind and to keep away what is bad for mankind. So why wouldn't we want to follow this? Why wouldn't we want to follow the one teaching which can help us attain what is good in both worlds and keep away from what is bad in both worlds? And so we find that we have become, many of us, a sign of Qiyamah, a sign of the Day of Judgment, which Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam warned about. There is a hadith where Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was talking about the signs of Qiyamah. And he mentioned that knowledge will be lost. So the Sahaba radiallahu anhum asked him, they said, how can knowledge be lost if we recite the Quran? Now if you listen to that sentence, that means the Sahaba understood the Quran to be knowledge. Not just the book which they recite, the Quran to them was knowledge. So they said, how can knowledge be lost if we recite the Quran and we're going to teach it to our children? And they will teach it to their children, etc. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam replied and said, don't you see people of other religions and other faiths? Many of them read their books, but they don't read it with understanding. They don't follow it. And one day the Muslims will be like this too. That's not the exact words of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but that is paraphrasing it in English. That he said that we will follow in their footsteps. Meaning that just like in some of the other faiths, they have followers who do not read their books. And those who do read it, do not read it with understanding, or practice it, or follow it. Amongst the Muslims, many of us will follow in their footsteps. We need to think about this. Are we part of the sign of Qiyamah? Those who Rasulullah ﷺ warned about, that knowledge is lost from their lives because they do not make an attempt to understand and follow the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself warns about this. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns about this when he talks about something which will happen on the Day of Judgment. On the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will say, إِذْ قَالَ الرَّسُولُ يَا رَبِّي إِنَّ قَوْمِ اتَّخَذَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَحْجُورًا. This is in Suratul Furqan, chapter 25, verse 30. إِذْ قَالَ الرَّسُولُ, when the messenger will say on the Day of Judgment, يَا رَبِّي, O my Lord, O Allah, إِنَّ قَوْمِ اتَّخَذَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَحْجُورًا. My people have deserted the Quran. My people have deserted this Quran. They have left this Quran. They are not following this Quran. This is what Rasulullah will complain about on the Day of Judgment. And we need to ask ourselves, are we from those people who Rasulullah will be sad about, that we did not follow his Quran? Or will we be from those who the Prophet Muhammad will be proud of as his followers on the Day of Judgment? Let us not be a sign of Qiyamah. Let us not be from those who went against the teachings of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Let's make a concerted effort here and now that this Ramadan, we are making a change. We are going to understand the Quran. We are going to practice the Quran. We are going to live the Quran. And sadly for many of us, even though we make this effort, or we make this intention, but the methods we use to attain it sometimes are not done in the proper manner. For example, many of us are guilty of praying Taraweeh at super speed, in fast forward. You know, lightning speed, we pray Taraweeh so fast, without tajweed, without understanding, without pondering. We just, the words of the Quran just fly out of our mouths as if, you know, it has no impact in our lives. And this needs to change. This is not the way of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This is not the way of the Sahaba or any of the early generations in praying and practicing Islam. That each and every one of them, they would pray their salah in a way that they would cry because they understood what they were praying. You know, even if they didn't cry, they would take their time. They would ponder over the verses. How many of us do this? Now, obviously, if we don't know Arabic, it's not possible for us to do this for the entire Quran. So again, one of the things we need to do is to make a concerted effort to study Arabic. Study the Arabic language, inshallah. It is not something which is impossible. It's something which, with a bit of effort, we all can attain. Study Arabic and understanding the Quran becomes so much easier. So now, if we have an intention to study, and if we have an intention to change, then what are the steps that we need to take to do so? Inshallah, I will explain this after the next break. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We spoke today about the Quran itself, what it is, and the importance of us changing our intention and making a firm intention this Ramadan to understand and practice the Quran. And so now we are going to look at the practical steps that we need to take in order to do so. And of course, the first step is to make the intention. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us in the most popular of hadith, narrated by Umar radiallahu anhu, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّةِ. Every action is judged by its intention. In Islam, if you make a good intention, even if you are unable to fulfill it, you will still be rewarded for that intention. So today, right here and now, each and every one of us should make an intention that this Ramadan, I will become a better Muslim. And I will do so for the sake of Allah alone. And I will begin understanding and following the Quran and the Sunnah to the best of my ability. And I will not allow my mistakes or sins to stop me from repenting and trying again. Make this intention, and Allah will make the road to accomplishing it easier for you. Bi-iznillahi ta'ala. With such an intention in our hearts, the next step, of course, is to make dua to Allah to help us to achieve our intentions. Now, intentions, as noble as they are, really, you know, on a practical level, you can't fulfill an intention without a plan. You will study this in any course on leadership or management, that when people have good intentions and no plans, nothing gets accomplished. And so I would recommend to each and every one of us to write down a list of goals for this Ramadan and to draw up a plan for accomplishing your goals this Ramadan. Now, for many of us, this might sound like something different, something new, which we might not have done before. But trust me, this is something which can make things more concrete and easier for you to know where you are going. For example, for myself, about a week ago, I wrote down a list of 12 goals which I have set for myself this Ramadan. And I've made it like a checklist. So as each goal is completed, I will tick it off. And I've set for myself a way of accomplishing the goal. So for example, one of my goals is to complete 2 Islamic courses through the Islamic Online University. I wanted to study 2 full courses in Ramadan. So how am I doing it? I've set a plan that every day I've dedicated certain hours just to studying. So that way my goal in Ramadan becomes realistic and I'm able to achieve it. Likewise, I've set a goal that every day on Facebook and on Twitter, I will post a verse of the Quran with tafsir. And I've set a time for that as well. So now these goals are not just intentions. Now they are written down with a plan. There is a bigger chance that you will go ahead and do it. So these are my personal goals. Everybody would have their own goals. You know, you write down the goal that this Ramadan, I want to read the Quran with understanding. And make a plan for how you are going to do that. When you write down your goals, it becomes easier. And if you have good time management skills, it becomes even easier. For those of you who would like to know more on time management and some basic tips on fulfilling goals, I have a very good article available online called Top 7 Time Management Tips. This is an article I wrote a few months ago, available on the website www.muslimmatters.org. If you go to that website and look for the article Top 7 Time Management Tips, it will help you. Those tips will really help you to accomplish your goals this Ramadan. So please go ahead and read that article, inshallah. And I hope that that will help you to put your goals into a realistic setting and to be able to accomplish them in Ramadan. Now, regarding a goal related to understanding the Quran, I'd like to narrate a personal story of how I began reading the Quran with understanding and how this changed my life. When I was a teenager and when I was young, every Ramadan we would recite the Quran as many times as possible to try and complete as many khatams of the Quran as possible in Ramadan. Right? This was a practice of my family. But even though I used to do this, it didn't really have much impact on me. Until 1 year while I was a teenager, Alhamdulillah, I got exposed to Sheikh Ahmad Didat, Rahimahullah, the late Sheikh Ahmad Didat. And for those of you all who know him, you'll know that he emphasizes a lot in his lectures the importance of reading the Quran with understanding. And so that year I had made up my mind that this Ramadan I'm going to do something different. I'm going to read the Quran with understanding. And I was a teenager at that time. I spent the entire Ramadan every day, 4 times a day, I read a quarter juz, a quarter para of the Quran. So I read 1 juz of the Quran a day with the Yusuf Ali translation. So I read every day 1 juz with translation the entire Ramadan. By the end of Ramadan, I had completed reading the entire Quran with understanding, walhamdulillah. And the next year, I did the same thing with the Darussalam translation. And the year after, I did the same thing with the Farooq Azam Malik translation. And alhamdulillah, after that, I had learned Arabic. And I had learned Arabic well enough to understand the Quran without translation. And so after that, I have been reading the Quran in Arabic with tafsir every Ramadan, trying to read a different tafsir as much as I can. Of course, with tafsir, it's sometimes not possible to read an entire tafsir of Ramadan, but we try to do as much as we can. The goal is not to finish the entire Quran, but to benefit and to understand the Quran as much as possible. So this is my personal story of how I started reading the Quran with understanding in Ramadan. And alhamdulillah, I can say it has left a major impact in my life. It completely changed my life. And the Quran has become a part of my life in a major way. And I really hope that for each and every one of us, we can get this. We can get this connection with the Quran. So I hope this gives you some idea of what you can do to read and recite the Quran this Ramadan with understanding in a way that's realistic, that perhaps inshallah if you have enough time, if you make enough time rather, you'll be able to complete reading the entire Quran with understanding this Ramadan. Now, for many of us, we have now an idea that we want to read the Quran with understanding. But then, you know, the next question which arises in our heads is, which translation do I use? Because there are many translations of the Quran available in English. And I'm sure you would have heard a lot of things about the mistakes in the translations or the problems with the translations. So which ones are the best to use, inshallah? I'm going to talk a bit about that soon. First, let's talk about the issue of translations itself. What do the scholars of Islam say about the topic of translations? And we see the scholars of Islam, they have agreed that translating the Quran in of itself is permissible. We see done even in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that when the Sahaba went to Abyssinia and they met the king of Abyssinia, they recited for him Surah Maryam. And the king of Abyssinia did not know Arabic. He had a translator with him who was translating for him what they were saying. Likewise, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent a letter to Heracles, the emperor of the Byzantine Empire, he sent him a letter which had Quranic verses in it, and this was translated for him as well. So the translation of the Quran into other languages began in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the scholars say that we need to understand a translation of the Quran is not the Quran. It is not the Quran. This is because the Quran is God's word. The Arabic Quran is God's word. And the translation is a human effort. So the Quran is God's word and the translation is a human effort. This is something we need to keep in mind. Now inshallah we are going to discuss what are the best translations to use. But before that we are going to take a short break. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, thus far today we have been talking about the Quran in Ramadan, what practical steps we can take towards connecting with the Quran in a stronger manner. And towards the ending of the program, we now began discussing the issue of translations. And before we went on break, we were talking about the translation. What do the scholars of Islam say about translating the Quran? They have established that translating the Quran is permissible. But when you translate it, you are translating the message of the Quran. It is no longer the Quran itself. It is no longer Allah's word. It is now a human translation. You see, the Arabic Quran is divine. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's words, His exact words. It is a miracle in of itself. When you translate it, when a human translates it, there will be human errors. Part of the miraculous nature, especially in terms of the Arabic grammar and the Arabic poetry, becomes lost. Part of the meaning becomes lost. But the main messages of the Quran will remain in a translation. And that's where the benefit of the translation comes from. That the main message of the Quran is still there. It's still there for us to benefit from. And that's why, you know, it's encouraged for somebody who does not know Arabic yet to read a translation. But at the same time, to study Arabic so that inshallah in the future you don't need to use translations and you'll be able to understand the Quran in Arabic itself. Now, as far as the translations available in English go, my two personal favorites are the translation known as the Sahih International Translation, which is done by three revered sisters from the USA. That's a very well done translation, got very few mistakes, and it's very easy to read. Another one, which is my personal favorite, is Al-Quran, A Guidance for Mankind. And it's done by Farooq Azam Malik, also from the USA. Why I like this translation specifically is that it's written with a flow. Very similar to how the Arabic of the Quran flows, this translation also has a beautiful flow to it. The only problem I have with this translation is that it doesn't have a lot of footnotes and explanation. So for somebody reading the Quran for the first time, wanting explanation, you might find this translation a bit lacking in that department. And that's, of course, when you need to consult your local ulama for assistance. Now, if neither of these translations are available in your area, the two next best is that of Marmaduke Pickthall, which was the first full translation of the Quran into English by a Sunni Muslim author. And the Darus Salam translation, known as the Translations of the Meaning of the Noble Quran, by Dr. Muhsin Khan and Dr. Taqiyuddin Al-Hilali. These are probably the four best translations available in English. Again, let me repeat their names. My personal favorite as far as translations goes is the one by Farooq Azam Malik. It's called Al-Quran, The Guidance for Mankind. And the second best one to me is As-Sahih International's translation, which is done by three revered sisters. And then we have the translation of the Noble Quran by Dr. Muhsin Khan and Taqiyuddin Al-Hilali, published by Darus Salam Publications. And finally, there is Marmaduke Pickthall's translation. These are, in my view, the best translations available in English. There are other translations as well available, but as I said, every translation has mistakes as they are done by humans. Every human makes errors. These translations tend to have the least mistakes and have some of the best content. Two more points to note before we conclude on the issue of translations and of reading the Quran with understanding. And the first point is a very important one, which anybody would tell you who has experience with the Quran. And that is that when reading the Quran, one needs to be unbiased. One needs to be completely sincere. That you are reading the Quran with an open mind. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you in the Quran, that is the truth. Even if it goes against your opinion and my opinion. Because Allah knows better than us. For many of us, when we read the Quran, we try to impose our understanding of the world of Islam onto the Quran. Right? And as a result, sometimes we will misread a verse because it goes against our understanding. To get maximum benefit from the Quran and not to deceive ourselves, we need to approach it with a clean slate. That I'm going into the Quran unbiased with an open mind. Whatever Allah tells me in the Quran, this has to be the truth. Right? Even if it goes against my own opinions. So that's the first and important point. The second important point towards understanding the Quran is that it is very important to note that not every verse of the Quran can be understood by everybody. There are verses in the Quran which are fiqh in nature, which deal with Islamic law. There are verses in the Quran which have been abrogated. There are verses in the Quran known as the mutashabihat, the unclear verses. There are verses dealing with intricate aspects of aqidah. Now, all of these make up a minority of the Quran. But they are there. And you need to acknowledge that these verses, you need the explanation of ulama to understand it. So, what I would recommend is, when you are reading a Quranic translation, when you are reading the Quran with understanding, keep a pen at hand to take note of those verses which you don't understand, of those verses which you are afraid you might misunderstand, for those verses which deal with Islamic law or with difficult concepts, and take it to a scholar that you trust, take it to an alim which you trust, and ask them to explain to you what this verse is about so that you can get the correct understanding of the verse. And of course, if you want to, you can even, ask these questions right here on this program. Every Wednesday between 9 and 10 o- 10 a.m. I will be available right here on Radio Al-Ansar. And if you have questions related to understanding the Quran, feel free to ask me about them, inshallah. So that is, inshallah, today's program. We have spoken about the Quran in Ramadan, and we've spoken about translating the Quran. I hope, inshallah, that you all have benefited, and I look forward, inshallah, to you all joining me for the remaining 5 episodes. Don't forget, if you want to join in and talk more about this topic, if you have any questions or comments on this topic, then you can follow me on Twitter at Ismail Kamda, or you can like my Facebook page. On both of these, the Facebook and Twitter, we'll be continuing discussing this topic throughout the month of Ramadan. And inshallah, next week, we will discuss how the Quran can transform your life. So inshallah, I will see you all next week. Until we meet again, an early Ramadan Mubarak from me. Jazakallah khairan. Wa akhiru da'wana. Anilhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.